Tom Karkel in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast today, going to be a mixture of clouds and sun, humid, high near 83 degrees. Kenosha right now 71, 67 degrees in Burlington, Milwaukee 74, and it is 72 in Racine. Racine's Police Department and its highly successful, often talked about community-oriented policing model has the green light for adjusted implementation within the unified schools, and the 40 existing officers will be reporting to a PD supervisor. Police Chief Art Howell at the board meeting last night said none of this all works without partnerships, relationships, and trust, something the department has been at since the 90s when former Chief Dick Paulzine started COP, and which he said continues to this day.
I understand what the national narrative looks like. I understand what Ferguson looks like. I understand what Baltimore looks like. And now I understand what Milwaukee looks like. But that's not what Racine looks like. And so that's not to say that we don't have a measure of work that can be yet done. But what it says is because of the groundwork that has been already laid at the neighborhood level, we walk in the door with a measure of credibility and a measure of trust. I just want the trust bank account to be larger.
He said this model for the schools includes a lot of components of what's in place at the COP houses, but it's a different model than the general COP effort in the neighborhoods. Board member John Heckenlively admitted some reservations about the model proposed for the schools, but he acknowledged it has been successful within the community. Teacher Melissa Zian, though, cautioned the board there is no way around the fear that is going to be persistent in these schools when you drop more police officers in there at the beginning of the year.
I'm uncomfortable with the idea of data being collected or students being spoken to by police officers in an effort to feel them out or poll them without parents having any knowledge that their students are being spoken to by police on a daily basis.
The COP model for the schools, which does not commit any additional officers, supported unanimously by the 7 board members in attendance. Meanwhile, recent unrest in Milwaukee got mentioned more than once at the Unified School Board meeting in the discussion about the COP initiative in the schools. Without being asked specifically about it, Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion said that based on his past experience with MPS, there were students involved in those scenarios that were unfolding in front of everybody on TV.
I watched it these last 2 days, and I know for certain that a lot of that damage that's happening are students. They're not young adults. They are students. You know, I was on community calls yesterday trying to help them problem solve what they can do. And one of the things I was told and acknowledged for is that we're doing this model here in Racine.
Dr. Gallion noting Racine's COP model of relationship building is what Milwaukee officials relied on in reaching into that community for help in response to the violence. Meanwhile, Chief Art Howell said his department was not asked by Milwaukee PD, while both Racine and Kenosha County's Sheriff's Departments were asked to provide some help with personnel and equipment. Kenosha's tactical response team, in fact, involved in taking a man with a gunshot wound to a hospital. Kenosha Unified School District claims to have no policy planned or on the books about transgender students having to wear a special wristband, but soon-to-be Tremper senior Ash Whitaker isn't taking any chances, going to federal court with a motion for a preliminary injunction. The Transgender Law Center, based in California, now represents Whitaker, put out a statement for the teen in which he says, "I just want to be able to go back to school and have a normal senior year with my friends and knowing I won't be targeted by the administration and forced to use a bathroom separate from everyone else." Supporting evidence with the motion for the injunction includes a photograph that shows a bright green sticker that the Kenosha News says a counselor gave to Whitaker's mother with a warning that school administration had planned to require transgender students to wear them. Kenosha school board members maintaining no knowledge of it. Kenosha City Council last night adding their voice to those urging the Kenosha School Board to reconsider its decision and go with the name for the new stadium at Bradford High School, Mary D. Bradford. School Board's decision rejected that recommendation in favor of the late Olin Arrington Jr., and that's what's created a firestorm. Alderman Jan Makowski urged his council mates to refer action on this resolution, defer it, and hold it off on until the school board really gets a chance to change the outcome of the vote that they had taken earlier.
And I understand the reason why everybody is upset about the process, but I would make a motion to defer this for 2 weeks and let the school board make their decision, and then we can revisit it if they do not do it to the sponsors of this resolution's satisfaction.
That sponsor, Alderman Rocco LaMacchia, arguing against postponing the vote, saying that pressure on the school board needs to continue. Final vote 14-1, Alderman Anthony Kennedy against it. Democratic Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is going to be getting a firsthand look at the Lake Bluff erosion in Mount Pleasant this morning. She's bringing along some members of the Army Corps of Engineers. Senator Baldwin hearing from village leaders, asking the Corps to see what they could do, maybe to see if there's anything to help prevent any further erosion. The budget process for the Racine Unified School District, well, it can be mind-boggling if you stare at it long enough, requiring an interim spending plan by July 1st, then a public hearing a week later, at which nobody, by the way, spoke last night, the state then providing the actual numbers you need months later, and after all that, then the school board can finally give its approval. Until then, it's all best guesses and calculations. Budget Director Mark Duff noting that along the way, more ways of providing revenue can be found to go along with more state aid that seems to show up.
We are carrying over some funds for expenses to fund for this current budget year. That's about $1.7 million. We have adjusted compensation amounts for our staff. That's about $4.2 million, and that was approved by the board. Addition was made to our maintenance budget, about $300,000.
Last year's budget, $334 million versus the $300 million this year, not included those substitute teacher pay increases, more guidance counselors, tax rate projected lower by 60 to 80 cents, though a bit less if the board later on approves continued energy efficiency projects. A new downtown Kenosha parking ramp, continued redevelopment of the Chrysler engine plant site, rebuilding 22nd Avenue, and a new industry, all things that Kenosha's mayor, John Antaramian, is envisioning for the city. They're expected to be included in his budget proposal that'll go up for review with the council this fall. But the Plan Commission gets an early look at several of the components, and they're going to rely in part on funding through tax incremental financing. The parking ramp, for instance, would be built on vacant land east of the post office. $500,000 would be set aside for a new high-wage manufacturing company that is planning on moving into an existing building, he says, located east of the former dog track site.
There is a potential development that we are waiting on. Feel very comfortable with it that it's going to occur, but it's not at the appropriate time to release that information.
A 25-block stretch of 22nd Avenue, it's a major north-south arterial, would be rebuilt in phases. Streets and utilities, he said, would be installed at the former Chrysler engine plant site in 2018. The Kenosha Plan Commission's review of proposed TIF district amendments to make the projects possible will be coming up Thursday afternoon. No comment really last night as the Kenosha Council unanimously approved a settlement agreement with McGill, the company that put in the flawed rubberized surface at the Dream Playground. The company to pay the city $160,700 in two payments, the first within 60 days of last night's council approval. Total includes the original installation cost plus some of the city's expenses for litigation and research. Meanwhile, work to repair the playground surface began last week, could be done by next month. Oh, and President Obama's brother-in-law is the newest employee of the Milwaukee Bucks. Craig Robinson hired by the team to be the new VP of Player and Organizational Development. He's a former Oregon State coach and Chicago native and, of course, the brother of the First Lady. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And at WRJN News, that's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.